Brethren, let's go back now to 2 Chronicles 24. Now, here's the question that God asked these men who had forsaken the Lord. It says in verse 20, "The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper?" Now, I want us all to think about that question. Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Now, under the old covenant of works, God saved His people the same way He saves His people under the new covenant of grace. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how all God's people have been saved. And so under that old covenant, just like under the new covenant of grace, the commandments of the Lord is first of all to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the true believers were doing when they brought a Lamb of God that had been and it was slain, and the high priest offered that blood on their behalf. They were coming to God through faith in Christ. We don't have to bring a physical lamb, because Christ is the Lamb. We don't have to have a physical high priest, because Christ is our high priest. But the command is the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second command is love your brethren. And the way they did that and the way we are to do that is by worshiping in the Lord's house, that is, with the Lord's people. His people are His house. With His people, under the sound of the gospel. And we're to have nothing to do with idols and idolaters who worship in the groves, in the pretty places, in the shady places. That's what the groves were, the high places. We're to worship God with His people. This is how the church will be maintained. This is how we'll express, first and foremost, our love for one another, assembling together to hear the gospel. So that's the commandment we're talking about here now. Now, the person that turns from Christ, from believing on Christ, cannot prosper. They cannot prosper. Only those who persevere in faith unto the end prosper. And that's by the hand of God. And that's what we see illustrated here in these two men, Jehoiada, the priest, and Joash, the king. Now, first of all, let's look at Jehoiada, the priest. He honored God, and God prospered him. Look here in verse 2. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. All the days of Jehoiada, the priest. Jehoiada means Jehovah knows. Or one who knows Jehovah. And this is when we talk about Zechariah on down the page, who was the son of Jehoiada, this is the Zechariah that Christ talked about, whose righteous blood had been spilled because they stoned Zechariah. And he called Jehoiada by name, a different name. And that name means blessed of Jehovah. Blessed of Jehovah. The reason Jehoiada had a true, holy, strong, faithful character is because he had been blessed of God. He had been prospered by the Lord. The Spirit of God had created in him a new heart, given him a new spirit, given him faith, made him to behold that all his prosperity was in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His righteousness and His holiness, in the free justification, redemption accomplished by Christ. That's where he was prospered, and he knew it. By God's grace, he knew it. And so everything he did in his life was from the motive of wanting to honor Christ. Everything was on this one foundation, Christ, in whom he knew himself to be complete. The first thing Jehoiada did was establish the priests and the king. They had a vain kingdom, a vain king. It was a dynasty that had been going on. You know, we've seen some of these kings as we've looked at these questions who were so evil. Well, that was going on still. And they had torn down the house of the Lord and they were worshiping idols. And Jehoiada comes along. One man, the priest of God, given by God, raised up by God, given faith by God. This one man came forth. The first thing he did was to call all the priests out of Judah and to set up a faithful king. It says in back in 2 Chronicles 23, look back there with me in verse 2. They went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah. The Levites were the priests. And they gathered the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. He restored a king who was a son of David. And it says in verse 8, he told them all what they were to do, how they were to serve the Lord. And it says, And so the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. So the first thing Jehoiada does is to set up and establish a king and priests in Israel. That's the first thing he did. You know what Christ our high priest does? Christ our king and our high priest. You know what he's done? Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, when Jehoiada did this, when he set up this king and these priests, he honored Christ our King. He did it with faith in Christ our King, in Christ our High Priest, and he honored him. And because that was his heart, to honor Christ, God honored him so that he prospered him so he could honor Christ more. And then the second thing Jehoiada did was he declared that God graciously remembers his covenant. Look at verse 2 Chronicles 23:16. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. When Christ establishes faith in the heart, when he's washed his people through the Holy Spirit, regeneration, washed in his blood, and he's made us kings and priests unto God, one of the first things he does is make with us an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. That means when Christ reveals himself, when we're truly brought to the knowledge of Christ, we're made to know there's nothing left for us to do. God entrusted the whole work to Christ, and he's done it all. Listen to this from Luke 1, if you want to turn there. Luke 1:68. This is what Zacharias was brought to declare whenever he heard Christ was coming. Luke 1:68. This is the covenant. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That's Christ. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's what Christ makes us to know, that whole covenant. He's redeemed his people. He's delivered us from our enemies. We shall worship the Lord our God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And he's made that covenant sure to all the promises of God are in Christ, yes, and in Christ, amen, to the glory of God. So Jehoiada, by honoring Christ our covenant, that's what he was doing here. He's reminding them of Christ our covenant, in whom all the covenants fulfill. And by doing that, he honored Christ. And so God prospered him so that he could honor Christ more. Look here now, then Jehoiada, the next thing he did was he destroyed Baal and his images. Verse 2 Chronicles 23:17. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. When Christ accomplished purging his elect, when he purged us of our sins on Calvary's cross, he crushed Satan's head. He judged the devil right there. As God promised in Genesis 3:15, he bruised the serpent's head on Calvary's cross. And so when the Spirit of God comes, Christ binds the strong man and casts him out of his people, and he enters in. And he takes possession of his child, and the Spirit of God convinces us that judgment is settled because the prince of this world is judged. And when he does this work in our heart, he breaks down all our idols that we once worshipped. He breaks down all our idol worship and brings us to the true worship of Christ. And when he does that, he makes you to love him and he makes you to hate his enemies. Psalm 119:128 says, I esteem all the precepts concerning all things. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Can you say that? That's when God has broken down our idolatry, when he's entered in. Just like they went and broke down this idolatry and all this Baal worship. It's when Christ has entered and made you hate every false way. He's the truth. Christ is the truth. And when the truth abides in you, you're going to love the truth. And you'll be able to distinguish between the truth and a lie. And when you hear the lie, you're going to say, that's false. I hate that. I hate that message. That exalts man. That points men away from Christ. That points men to the earth. That points men to themselves. I don't have anything to do with that. I hate every false way. And so, when Jehoiada went forth, and these Levites and these priests, and they broke down all that Baal worship and slew this false priest, that was an honorable thing toward Christ. And so, God honored him, prospered him, so that he could bring more honor to Christ. And so, Jehoiada worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so, God continued to prosper him so that even the nation during this time, the government of the whole nation of Israel, came into order. It hadn't been in order in years. And he started with the house of the Lord. He started with the gospel of Christ and broke down all false worship. And that whole nation, the government, ceased being corrupt, and the government ran in a righteous manner. You see, the problem in all the nations in this world, including ours, the problem is not just the fact that the government's corrupt. That's the direct result of will worshipers claiming that they worship Christ. When you look in the Scripture, whenever God brought order to a nation, to Israel, he always started in the house of the Lord. That's where he always started. It doesn't start in the White House. It starts in the pulpit. That's where it starts. And so only Christ can do that. And it's when he's established his hearts of his people. Psalm 144:15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You want to see a happy people? When God has made Christ your Lord, that'll be a happy people. So God even honored Jehoiada in his death. Only in the city of David, only in the sepulcher of the kings, they only buried kings there. But they buried Jehoiada the priest there. They gave him that honor and buried him. His body was laid to rest among the kings of Israel because he did so much good toward Israel and toward God's house in the kingdom of in that day. You know what's going to happen for the believer who perseveres in faith, trusting Christ, walking in a way that honors Christ, and he continues until the end of his life. You know what's going to happen to him? Christ is going to honor him for the honor he gave. God's going to honor him for the honor he gave to Christ. And going to raise him and give him rest with all Christ's kings for all eternity. James said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." For how long? Perseveres to the end. Doesn't ever draw back from Christ. He continues in Christ all the way to the end. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, when it's all over, he shall receive the crown of life. You see the honor? It's called a crown. What is the crown? It's the crown of life. It's life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. To them that trust Him and rest in Him, turn from their works, turn from their way, turn from their message, and trust Him and preach His message and promote His honor and His glory. He gives them an honor to rest with His kings when they die. Now those that have been prospered by Christ in righteousness, this is what we see in Jehoiada. Whenever Christ has prospered a man in righteousness and holiness and free justification, He makes that man, gives that man a heart to want to honor Christ in everything he does. And by God's grace, that's what he does. He has a new character. He's a new man within him. And he honors Christ. And as he honors Christ, God honors him. He prospers him so he can honor Christ more. We're not talking about the prosperity that this world talks about when they talk about you do this for God, you're going to have a new Cadillac. We're not talking about that. That's false. He prospered Zacharias too, Jehoiada's son. You know how he prospered him? He gave him the great honor of being a martyr for Christ. He was stoned to death. So we're not talking about a temporal prosperity. They didn't hurt Zachariah. They didn't hurt his body. They ushered him into the presence of God's glory. That's all they did. But that was a great honor that Christ gave to him. We're talking about him honoring and prospering his people in righteousness and holiness and free justification, making you a witness, a faithful witness of Christ, making you able to declare Christ, making you able to support his gospel and promote his word and promote his honor. That's what we're talking about. That's true prosperity, to be able to do that. And the Lord said this, "Them that honor me, I will honor." That's God's promise. Them that honor me, I will honor. We can't even begin to honor him except he gives us grace to honor him. But when he's prospered you and given you grace to honor him, and you honor him, God says, I'll honor you. Them that honor me, I'll honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, let's listen to this question again that God asks. Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Seeing what we see in Jehoiada, a man who honored God, believed on Christ, trusted Christ, and walked honoring to him all his days, seeing how God prospered this man, one man made the whole nation of Israel a new and better place. So then why would we ever want to turn from Christ? Why would we ever want to look to our way and our will and our works and our doctrines? Why would we ever do that? Because we can't prosper then. All right, let's look at the next person. By the hand of God, no man who forsakes the Lord shall prosper. By God's own hand, no man that forsakes Christ shall prosper. God will see to it he won't. And we see that in King Joash. Now, as long as Jehoiada lived, this man was so had such a good influence on Joash. As long as Jehoiada lived, Joash did that which was right. Look at verse 2 again, 2 Chronicles 24:2. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Everything this man did, as long as Jehoiada was alive, the Lord said he did right. He did what was right. He did what he should have done. Joash had the Lord's house repaired. He had the Lord's house renewed. And he went to the house of the Lord and he offered offerings and he worshiped in the house of the Lord. It says there in at the end of verse 14, they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. He renewed the whole house and had it renewed. You know, all the furnishings brought back into it through these offerings and all that he set up, and they brought back in and restored true worship in the house of the Lord in Israel. It hadn't been done in years. Judah used to stay out there in Judah and worship in the groves. Now they all were coming to Israel to worship at Jerusalem with the other tribes of Israel. It was unity this man was bringing together. Joash was doing this. And he was right there with them, leading them in the worship of God. And then we see this, though. Unless a man's been born of God, been born of the Spirit of God, been born from above and given a new heart and kept by the power of God, that man cannot persevere in faith. He can do what Joash did. He can renew the house of God and rebuild the house of God and take on a form of worship. But that's as far as it goes. Joash renewed the temple of God, but his own heart had never been renewed. Joash led the people in the worship of God, but he never once himself worshiped the Lord. Isn't that sad? Not one time. The three things exposed him as a reprobate. We see right here in the Scripture, three things exposed him. One, as easily as he was influenced by Jehoiada for good when it was to his profit, just that easily he was influenced by wicked men for evil when it was to his profit. You see, a man that can easily be persuaded one way can easily be persuaded another way. And this is what happened. Verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah, and they made obeisance to the king. They came and they bowed down and they flattered him. Jehoiada never really flattered the king. Joash was Jehoiada's nephew. And he was of the house of David, and Jehoiada knew this was the will of the Lord, that he was to be the king, and he put him on the throne. Jehoiada did. But Jehoiada would be honest with Joash and tell him when he was doing wrong or right, and tell him, you know, the way, what's honoring the God. But here comes some men that are princes in Judah. These just weren't some ordinary fellows. These fellows were somebody. And they came to Joash bowed down and blowing smoke. And they flattered him. And look what happened. Then the king hearkened unto them. He listened to them. And they, Joash included, left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. You know what the first step to apostasy is? The first step to totally rejecting Christ altogether, the first step comes by giving ear to unregenerate men who turn you from the singleness of Christ. That's the first step. They bring in something to join with that single message of Christ. And by doing that, they turn you to that thing, that doctrine, whatever it is, that work, whatever it is, the flesh, the law, worldly things, money, whatever it is. They turn the man from the singleness of Christ. And when they do that, your ministry is ruined. Ministry is ruined. Keep up a form. They kept up a form. The man can keep preaching Christ. But when he's turned to something else, and that becomes the focus, he's gone. He's gone. Here's the second thing. This manifests Joash as reprobate. He hearkened to wicked men now, but he would no longer hearken to the Lord's prophets who God sent to rebuke him. He would listen. All these princes of Judah, he listened to everything they had to say. But here's God sends his true messenger, They wouldn't listen to him anymore. Look at verse 19. Yet God sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. The pride and the haughtiness of the natural heart resents rebuke from the very messengers that he once rejoiced in. That's the haughtiness and pride of the heart. And to do so is to inflict upon ourselves some serious injury, and it's usually fatal. And then comes a rapid spiritual decline. Look at the next thing that exposed him. He killed God's messengers. Verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because you forsaken the Lord, he's also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. Joash is the one who ordered this. They stoned him with stones, and they did it in the court of the house of the Lord. And thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, when Zechariah died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. They slew God's prophet in the house of the Lord. Joash ordered this to be done. Slew God's prophet in the house of the Lord. Men who reject the gospel and who will not hear Christ's messenger have no more reverence for the house of the Lord, no more respect for the house of the Lord. And by that, you know the house of the Lord is the Lord and His people. And they have no more reverence for Him. This killing of this man in the court of the house of the Lord was showing a total disregard for the Lord and for His people. And now, men may not physically kill somebody in our day, but by their hard speeches and their words, they manifest that they've killed God's messengers in the heart. That's what's happened. And that's what they did here. They don't remember the kindness, but murder faithful fathers who did them good, who preached the gospel to them. That's hardness. That's showing us what our natural heart is. That's my heart and your heart, brethren. Don't you pray God keep you from that? If God let us go, take His hand off of us, that's in every one of us right there, in our old nature. And God has to keep you from that. That's why we're kept by the power of God. That's what it means, is to be kept from that. From ourselves, from what we are by nature. But you see the hardness and the coldness and the sinfulness of the natural heart? The Holy Spirit says this. How is it, sometimes you see folks, and I've seen this since about 1985. I've seen folks who will be in the house of the Lord, and they'll have family that are believers, and they'll continue for a long time, and one day they just turn and they're gone. Family keeps coming, they don't come anymore. And they don't go anywhere else. They don't move to a place where they can hear the gospel preached. They don't go anywhere where they can hear the gospel preached. And I've seen more than two or three pastors who found something better to preach than just Christ. They moved on to what they considered greener pastures. And some of them built big buildings because of it. And became friends with some influential people in the ministry. But they quit preaching Christ. They quit preaching Christ. What is it? What causes that to happen? The Holy Spirit of God said, They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, let's answer this question God asks, can a man prosper who rejects Christ and who turns against the sovereign God of glory? Can he prosper? Verse 18 says, there's no way. The end of verse 18 says, wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their trespass. Verse 20 says, because you've forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. The unregenerate man who rejects Christ for an idol doctrine shall suffer. Now, if he's not harming God's people, and somehow God's bringing glory to His name through his lives, God might just leave him alone. We see that in Scripture sometimes. But if His people are in danger of being influenced by a false preacher, just like God had some elect there in Israel, God's going to put an end to that man, just like we saw with Pharaoh. Joash suffered humiliating defeat. God sent, there in verse 23, God sent the Syrians at the end of that year. This Syrian army came up and destroyed all the princes of the people of Judah from among the people and took spoil of them. They came, all those princes that came out of Judah and influenced Joash, God sent the Syrian army and killed them. God's the first cause of this. He killed them. And then look at verse 24. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed God's judgment against Joash. This whole army was just a tool in the hand of God to execute judgment upon Joash. This small little army came, and the Lord made them defeat a great host in Israel. Suffered a humiliating defeat. And then his own friends turned on him. His own friends turned on Joash and slew him. There in verse 25. And to add dishonor to that, to make it even more dishonorable, verse 26 tells us that the folks who slew him, one was an Ammonite and one was a Moabite. You remember Saul, King Saul? Remember him? When he was wounded and he prayed for that man to kill him so that he wouldn't be killed by a heathen. Remember that? That was so dishonorable. He didn't want to be killed. And the man wouldn't do it, so he killed himself. Because that was how dishonorable it was to be slain by an Ammonite or a Moabite. And that's what God made sure happened to Joash. Total dishonor in the midst of this humiliating defeat. And then God brought this disease upon him. He had a horrible disease in addition. And then he was given a dishonorable burial. He wasn't buried in the sepulchres of the kings. He was a king and wasn't buried there. And then after this, you know what happens to a man after all this? Judgment. Christ promised to those who reject his messengers. Go to Matthew 23. You see, all this is a picture of a man being left in his sin. Left in our sin, we've suffered. We have been humiliated and defeated before we've ever begun. Left in our sin. We have a disease that's incurable if we're left in our sin. We're going to have a dishonorable death. And after that, we're going to meet God. And here's what's going to happen. Matthew 23:35. This is the Lord speaking. And listen to this. He said, upon you, he's talking to those that rejected. Let's read verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, that is, of Jehoiada the priest, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. This generation, was he just talking about the generation that stood right there in front of him? No, he's talking about the generation of the wicked. He's talking about the whole race of the serpent, the serpent seed. That's who he's talking about. All the righteous blood of all God's righteous messengers shall come upon those who pass from this earth rejecting Christ. Every one of them. So, now, again, we see two men here. Two men. One was faithful. And he persevered in faith. And God honored him. God honored him. And we see a man who started out well. Everything he did was right in the eyes of the Lord. But it was all came about because he was influenced by another man. It wasn't of the Lord. It wasn't by the Spirit of the Lord. It was by another man. And he proved it by turning his back on the Lord and going into idolatry. He didn't stop religion. He didn't stop preaching. Probably, again, I tell you, Baal means Lord. He didn't quit saying, Lord, Lord. He didn't quit claiming to be preaching the glories of God in heaven and the mercies of the Messiah and all these things. He didn't quit preaching that. But before God now, he's worshiping idols. And he did not prosper. He could not prosper. So, thus saith God. Now this is a question to me and you right here. Thus saith God. Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Why would we want to take the place of Joash? Christ keep those who keeps his commandments. Now, preacher, are you saying we need to go to keep the Ten Commandments? That's not what I'm saying at all. The Ten Commandments were given to reveal sin to his people. Go to Romans 3 and let me show you that real quick. Romans 3. Verse 19. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see that? That's why the law was given. I was trying to make that illustration last week that I can't even remember what was the name of the man we were looking at, the last king we looked at. He fell off. He didn't put that lattice work up on his roof, and he fell off that roof. That was breaking. He broke one law of God, and he fell. Well, if he could get back on that roof and put that lattice up and obey God's law, would it have cured him of his disease? Would it have saved him from dying? No, he already failed. He's already dead. And that's our case. We already failed. So God's gave us a law here to show you your sin. What's he talking about then when Christ talks about keeping his commandments? This is his commandment. 1 John 3:23. This is his commandment. That we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You see, the way that we fulfill that whole law of God. So that we're righteous before God and we have no sin before God is by faith in Christ. Trusting Christ has already established the law for us. Isn't that one commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so much better than trying to keep all the host of commandments that God's given? Believe on Christ and love one another. And Christ said this, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. But what happens to those who turn from this holy commandment? Turn to 2 Peter 2:20. If after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, faith in Christ, not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's what I just read to you. Believe on Christ and love one another. That's the Holy Commandment. But a man that turns from that and entangled again, it's worse than it was at the beginning. The Lord gave an illustration. He said, you know, a natural man who gets religion, takes on even a true form of religion, you know, sits under the true gospel and seems like he's a true believer. The Lord said that the spirit, an evil spirit, leaves the man and goes walking through the earth trying to find where he can take up his abode. You know, the devil, Scripture says, the devil walks about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Well, when that spirit has left him, he cleans his house up and he sweeps it and gets it all nice and tidy and gets religion. He does this and that and the other thing in religion. And the Lord said, but then the spirit says, I'll return to my first house. And he goes back to the man. And he finds it swept and garnished and clean. And he enters in with more spirits than he left with. And the latter end of that man's worse than it was in the beginning. And usually, it's in religion. There's nothing more blind than a man that thinks he sees. Isn't that what Christ said? If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? But those the Spirit of God regenerates and gives faith, they persevere in faith. We don't stop. We don't go back. We do it one way. One way. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that's already ready to be revealed in the last time. Christ prepared that. He made that salvation ready for His people. And all His people are going to inherit it. And so God's going to see to it. He's going to keep us by His power through faith. Through all the storms and all the trials and all the hills and all the accusations of the devil and everything else, God's going to keep His child looking to Christ, trusting Christ, honoring Christ, and He's going to bring us to Christ. And He won't lose one. The blood of Christ, that wrath that Joash incurred, Christ already bore that wrath of God for His people. That forsaking Joash encountered, Christ already bore that forsaking of God to satisfy justice for His people. And because He satisfied justice, His blood is so precious to God the Father that He will not allow one of His people to fall away. So it won't happen. But knowing that, never let a believer presume that he shall never fall. Because to do so is to be full of pride. And what does the Scripture say? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What should we do then? 2 Peter 1. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's not just in the last day that entrance will be given to you. As you diligently seek to make your calling and election sure, you diligently go to Christ. You diligently seek Christ. You diligently cast all your care upon Christ and look only to Christ. And as you do that, He'll open up heaven's entrance to you. And right now where you sit, God will give you a blessing in your heart. Because we have access now through Christ our High Priest. And then in the end, we'll enter into glory. That's how you won't be lost. Christ alone. All right, Brother Eric.